to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
This morning with Rod Oram. Morena, Rod, how are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
It's lovely to chat to you today. Boy, it is a big old busy time in politics, though. What's going on in the UK? What's happening with this election? It's all looking quite hectic from what I can see on the internet. What are your predictions for what's going to be happening in the next 24 hours?
Well, the polls just opened half an hour ago, and they will close at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning our time. And we're expecting the results to start coming through about from about 3 o'clock on tomorrow afternoon our time. It looks very, very tight, but with the Tories still in the lead. Going into the last couple of weeks, the Tory lead was about 11 points over Labour, and that would have translated into a Commons majority for the Tories of about 68. But that's been tightening a good deal since.
Mm.
And every time, so since then, there's been a couple of percentage point narrowing. And that significantly brings down the Tory majority. And a couple of factors seem to be going on, according to pollsters. One is that there is, quote, extreme tactical voting going on. This is from YouGov, who are, I think, one of the leaders in polling, is that, and this is from one of their people saying, extreme efficiency in tactical voting that is working against the Tories. Voters who don't want Brexit mm-hmm. are working things out for themselves and self-sorting. And then the other thing is that there have been a three public incidents where Johnson seems to have done himself no favours. The first was about this picture of a young lad who was ill, lying on a hospital floor, and he refused to look at a picture of that. Second one was the father of the young man who was murdered on London Bridge last month in a terrorist attack, and he directly criticised the Prime Minister for treating mm-hmm. his son's death as a political opportunity. And then the third one is that Johnson hasn't been fronting up on some television programmes, not particularly an interview with Andrew Neil, who is, you know, one of the sort of leading political commentators.
It's quite a remarkable response. It's quite a remarkable response he had to that as well, which I think has kind of gone viral on the internet too.
Yes, absolutely. And so the country, though, is horribly split and divided. This has been going on for a long time, but this is now getting to quite extreme position. Yep.
So what would be the outcome if the Tories do come back into power? What's that going to mean for Brexit going forward from here?
If they had a clear majority and it hung together through more parliamentary process, no more defections, they would be able to achieve the formal declaration of Brexit by January 31st. Mm-hmm. But of course, it's terribly misleading, this campaign slogan, you know, get Brexit done by, you know, X date, because that, you know, formal declaration is actually only the beginning of a fiendishly difficult process of negotiating the detail, not the least of which on trade treaties. And so there's a huge amount of work to actually mm-hmm. Operationalise Brexit. And although there's been a bit more time now because of all the political manoeuvrings over the last half of this year, that there's been a bit more time for preparation, it's still going to be very chaotic if Brexit happens or is declared on by January 31st.
So let's talk a little bit about something a bit closer to home now, because this is going to be a massive topic to keep coming back to, I think, for the next couple of months at least, surely. But closer to home, what's happening with the Reserve Bank at the moment? This is kind of outside my field of knowledge very much, so can you please enlighten us? What's going on there, Rod?
December last year, Adrian Orr, the Governor, announced that the Reserve Bank wanted our banks to increase their capital because it considered their capital reserves inadequate to get them through a once in every 200 year financial crisis. Now, that seems like extreme planning, but we know that financial crises do happen, and they happen regularly. All my years as a business journalist, it's been mm-hmm. roughly once a decade, and we're about 10 years since the last one. I'm not predicting the next one, but they do happen.
Yeah.
And the banks fought back fiercely against that. They are amongst the most profitable banks in the developed world in terms of return on shareholders' equity, and they fought very fiercely. But Orr and the Reserve Bank played it very well over the last year. Very good third-party analysis. They kept the pressure up. And in the end, they just did soften two things. They gave the banks 7 years, not five, to lift their capital. And it gave them some other instruments, sort of some not quite so good classes of capital to bolster that. Mm. But still, it'll help. So it's gone through, and there's sort of been grudging, I wouldn't quite say support, but the banks have gone along with it. And so the Reserve Bank has achieved something incredibly important, which would never have been achieved if the Reserve Bank did not have full independence.
Right.
If this had been a political process, the banks would have been leaning on politicians in a big way. And I just want to point out how serious this is.
Mm.
Our banks, with their existing level of capital, rank 119th out of 141 countries in the world in terms of their regulatory capital as a percentage of their assets. Now, that's astonishingly low in the ranking. It's dragged us down various rankings of financial stability. Not much, but it gets us down into the 10 to 20 ranking in the world when we've got many other things going for us. The two big stresses on the banks are lending for household mortgages and lending to farming, particularly that portion of dairy farmers who are highly indebted. Should either of those things go wrong, that would be very difficult for the banks. If both of them went wrong at the same time, they would need all the capital that they could muster to get through it. So I've always been a big supporter of what the Reserve Bank's done, and I think they've done it very well in the face of fierce politicking and very weak arguments from the banks.
Speaking of politicking, the third topic that we're going to chat about just briefly before we let you go, Rod, is ComCom on fuel. What is this as well? I know this has been something that has been used as a bit of a ping pong ball maybe between politics here.
Again, this is a really important story because this, for the first time, the Commerce Commission was given the power to look at market structures rather than just asked to decide whether, say, two companies could merge and what the impact would be on competition. So the government asked them to look at petrol and diesel market to see how competitive it was. The upshot of that is through two rounds of reports, this is the final set of proposals, that there are a number of proposals which will make the wholesale fuel market much more transparent. So that's the market at which independent distributors and retailers can go and buy fuel from the major producers, Z Energy, ExxonMobil, and BP, and then be able to compete more effectively. There are all sorts of really old, inefficient relationships and structures in that wholesale market, which were inefficient, which did create a lot of uncertainty about what the real wholesale price of these fuels were. So now there will be a spot price, which will be very transparent, and there will be greater opportunity for those independent sellers to access fuel supplies. Now, I don't think that'll bring fuel prices down hardly at all on average across the country, but it should certainly help where there are fuel is higher than in some parts of the other parts of the country. There's obviously differences because of transport costs and the rest in remoter places, but I think it'll help create some more competition in areas where there's been next to none.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Rod, and for your time all of this year. We'll be speaking to you again in the new year, but I hope you have a lovely Christmas in the meantime.
I certainly will, but I'll see you at the Christmas party tomorrow.
We will see you at the Christmas party. See you then. Okay. Thanks, Rod.
Okay.
Bye.
See you.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.